Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46, Jacob has received word that his son is down in Egypt, the son that he thought was dead. And so he sets out to see him, and he gets to ride in a cart because Pharaoh sent carts for them to travel in. Genesis chapter 46, this is the word of God. "So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'I am God, the God of your father,' he said. 'Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes.' Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They also took with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Canaan. And Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. These are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants, who went to Egypt: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob; the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi; the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman; the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari; the sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah, but and Onan had died in the land of Canaan; the sons of Perez, Hezron and Hamul; the sons of Issachar, Tola, Puah, Jashub, and Shimron; the sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Jalil. These were the sons Leah bore to Jacob in Padan Aram, besides his daughter Dinah. These sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. The sons of Gad: Zephon, Haggi, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Erodi, and Ereli. The sons of Asher: Imna, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. Their sister was Sarah. The sons of Beriah: Heber and Malkiel. These were the children born to Jacob by Zilpah, whom Laban had given his daughter Leah, 16 in all. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel: Joseph and Benjamin. In Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin: Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 in all. The son of Dan: Hushim. The sons of Naphtali: Jahzeel, Guni, Jezer, and Shalem. These were the sons born to Jacob by Bilhah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel, 7 in all. All those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons. with the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt. The members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, "What is your occupation?" you should answer, "Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did." Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, "My father and brothers, with their flocks and herds and everything they own, have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen." He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked the brothers, "What is your occupation?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh, "just as our fathers were." They also said to him, "We have come to live here a while because the famine is severe in Canaan and your servants' flocks have no pasture. So now, please let your servants settle in Goshen." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen, and if you know of any of them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock." And Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up." "Then bring your livestock," said Joseph. "I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there's nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes, we and our land as well? Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate." So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I've bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and your children." "You have saved our lives," they said. "May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt, still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." "I will do as you say," he said. "Swear to me," he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. When I was growing up, I listened to Christian radio quite a bit. Several of the preachers that I heard made a great impact on my life. I am sorry to say that I didn't get to thank all of them. I did get to thank some. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Whether you want to thank me or not, at least let me know you're listening. Contact us by going to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the materials there. Let us hear from you. Let us know where you listen and when you listen. And if you think it's helpful, please tell us. And if you think it's not, go ahead and tell us that too. But we would really appreciate hearing from you so that we know where our new listeners are. We are delighted that we have the privilege of coming into your vehicle, your home, your computer, wherever you're listening. We want to hear from you. Please contact us today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Jacob, his descendants, relocate from the promised land to Egypt. Was that a deviation from God's plan? No, it was not. It was part of God's plan. Please notice what the Lord said when he met with him in chapter 46, verse 3. "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there." God is going to make Israel into a great nation while they're living in Egypt. Whose idea was that? God's. Why? Because God was going to use their deliverance from bondage in Egypt as a picture that would stay with them all through their history. Every year they were to celebrate the Passover. And this would be the picture of when Jesus, the Lamb of God, comes to take away the sin of the world, and he is the Lamb sacrificed in order to deliver God's people from bondage. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it goes back to this. Because when Jesus met with his disciples in that upper room the night that he was to be betrayed, Jesus explained to them what all of this meant. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." They had been doing it in remembrance of deliverance from Egypt. But God says, no, that deliverance from Egypt thing was pointing to what would happen at the cross. Everything that would happen, God was using on purpose to bring about glory for His name and salvation for His people. Now, if you're walking through it, if you're in the middle of it, it doesn't always feel like God is up to something good. Amen? A lot of times when you're in the middle of the circumstances, it seems like this is a detour, this is a mistake, we're going backwards here, I thought we were supposed to inherit this land. Why is this happening? Why are we going to Egypt? Why are we having a famine? They wouldn't have gone to Egypt if they hadn't had a famine. Guess who sent the famine? That must be the devil's work. No, that was God's plan. God was using that in order to get them down to Egypt. And that is where God would make a great nation of them. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, Jacob. For I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you. And I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. In other words, Joseph is going to be with you when you die. Not only that, but I will bring you back up out of Egypt. I'm going to go down to Egypt with you, and I'm going to bring you back up out of Egypt. Well, that had two meanings. Jacob didn't know, but it had two meanings. One is that his body would be brought back up out of Egypt. The other is that his descendants would be brought back up out of Egypt. And I want you to see that in both cases, God used a human instrument in order to keep his promise to his people. Joseph becomes the means by which God's promise to Jacob is fulfilled. And later, God will use a human instrument in order to keep the promise as he brings the whole nation out of Egypt. When the people are delivered from slavery in Egypt, how's God going to do it? God could have used any method he wanted, but God sent a man by the name of Moses. And Moses was God's chosen instrument in order to bring his people up out of Egypt. Please understand this. God always keeps his promises. But please understand this also. God has chosen to partner with people to accomplish his purpose. And I can guarantee you on the authority of God's word that God has a purpose for your life. You may not be Joseph, you may not be Jacob, you may not be Moses, but you might be Carmi, you might be, Pua, you might be Sered or Jaleel. Who are these people? They are people through whom God is going to multiply the descendants of Jacob, and God is going to raise up a nation. And we won't know most of the names. And our names may not be remembered in generations to come. But our responsibility is not to be remembered. Our responsibility is to be faithful. God has chosen to partner with people in order to accomplish his purpose. And we should not miss that in this passage. God says to him, back in chapter 46, verse 3 again, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. He doesn't say because you have a responsibility of turning yourself into a great nation there. God says, I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. And so Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport them. Verse 28. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to go to Joseph and get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. In other words, they didn't go straight to the capital. They didn't go to Joseph's home. They went to the place where they were going to be because they were moving. Okay, this is, where do you take the moving trucks? Where do we take all these carts? Where do we take the children and grandchildren? Where do we take all our stuff? We've got herds of animals. You don't want to show up at the palace with all your animals. Okay? So you say we're moving to Goshen. I don't know where Goshen is. Judah, go ask Joseph where Goshen is. Get directions. So Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And as soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Here we see Joseph weeping with joy. He wasn't sorry to see his dad. He was overwhelmed with emotion and he wept. Threw his arms around his father, chapter 46, verse 29, and he wept for a long time. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now I'm ready to die, since I've seen for myself that you are still alive. I am so grateful that you are alive, I feel like my life is complete." That's a beautiful statement on his father's part. And Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I'll go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, they brought along the flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation, you should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you'll be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen.' Hear this, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians." Does that strike you as a little funny? What's our image of shepherds? King David was a shepherd. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. David says about the Lord is my shepherd. But to the Egyptians, being a shepherd was just disgusting. It was the lowest of the low. And Joseph, who's the prime minister, comes from a family of shepherds. The guy who's on top in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has turned everything over to him. He comes from a family that is made up of people that the Egyptians think are just gross, just disgusting, trash. So, he says, "Tell him and you'll get to live in Goshen." And then I love the fact he chose a few of his brothers to bring to see Pharaoh. He didn't bring in the whole crew. Okay? If you ever feel like in a family that, you know, not everybody is viewed the same way, even by the siblings, you know, it's not just your family. That's a pretty normal phenomenon. And so he chose, verse 2 of chapter 47, five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. This isn't all of them, but it's a representative sample. This will give you the idea. These are the kind of people I come from. Let's send them to Goshen. So he brings his brothers in, they meet, and then Jacob is asked, "How old are you?" And he said to Pharaoh, verse 9, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult." If you're really walking with God, if you're God's servant, how can you say, "I've had a difficult life"? Well, look at Jacob's life. It was difficult. His wife has died. He thinks his son is dead. It turns out, no, he was just ambushed by his brothers and sold into slavery. Oh, well, now I feel better. Okay? I was lied to by my sons. I mean, he's had a difficult life. But God had a plan. And if you look at it right here at this stage, it looks like everything's going to be good. We don't have time this morning to go into the rest of what we read, but God willing, we'll pick it up next time. I want you to see, however, that when you are in the middle of the journey, it can seem like we're headed in the wrong direction. But God always knows what he's doing, and God will always keep his promises, but he has chosen to use people in order to accomplish his purpose.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org. Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.